Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Talking Takes. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me, as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. Probably got a light one for you folks this week, as we are still awaiting news on where the women's basketball might end up as far as their bracket seeding. We know the men's has been released. We'll probably touch on that. But other than that, not a good week for LSU baseball. I mean, they did salvage one win in Starkville. But other than that, man, Bulldogs just pounded the Tigers. We'll have to address that, of course. But before we do, I want to check in with you guys. Hope you had a good weekend. I did. Weather was good. It was nice outside. Spring is in the air. How y'all doing?
Hey, good to be with you. Had a decent weekend aside from the play on the diamond. So glad to talk about it with y'all, and hopefully we're moving on to brighter days at LSU baseball.
Right, doing well, feeling better. I was a little under the weather last week. Hopefully I sound more audible on this one. And a happy St. Patrick's Day as well to our Irish Tiger listeners across the pond and abroad. So that's kind of fun. I didn't really do too much for St. Patrick's Day. I don't know about y'all. But
I'm wearing green. That counts.
I'm kind of like I got a tealish on, so we're festive enough. But yeah, baseball kind of mediocre, but we got this big basketball tournament, even if LSU's not participating. I think an NIT bid is imminent for us, for what that's worth. But yeah, a fair few things to break down. At least the women will be a high seed in their tournament.
That they will. And yeah, from what I recognize in my spring break days, I think I went to New Orleans once for at least part of my spring break, and it just happened to fall on St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. Couldn't tell that was a French colonized area. I mean, it just looked like green and Irish. It was everywhere. I mean, New Orleans, I guess, obviously just wants a good reason to party, but St. Patrick's Day is no small substitute for anything. It was quite festive in New Orleans for St. Patrick's Day. So,
yeah, we were there last year, right, Daniel? We went to that parade, I think.
Yeah, we did. New Orleans St. Patrick's Day parade on St. Charles Street. Always something going on. They're tossing the cabbages out. So, pretty unique thing. Blended the New Orleans parade culture with the Irish stuff.
Everybody drinking green hand grenades or hurricanes, whatever they're walking.
Green jello around. Shots.
Yeah, exactly. Anywho, man, it seemed like the Tigers, baseball Tigers, been taking some jello shots before these games, you would think. So Tigers end up getting one win out of three in Starkville. I don't know, the upstart Bulldogs, man, it seemed like they were playing with a chip on their shoulder. Even got a little jolly in that first game. I don't think I've ever seen Jay Johnson so heated.
Yeah.
And one of the Mississippi State players kind of made a little long loop towards the LSU dugout and was saying some stuff. And yeah, Jay Johnson was not happy. Tigers lose the first one 10-4, rebound in the second game, and won 9-8, barely hung on to win 9-8. But I mean, they just had an outpouring of offense in the first three innings, and that was luckily what they needed. Today, last game though, unfortunately, our defending national champion Tigers got run ruled, losing 15-5 to Mississippi State. I mean, that's bad enough right there, but I mean, just to get run ruled, I don't know. It's obviously not the same team from last year, but man, it seems like we got some potential there. It's just, I don't know. It's just, you don't think you'd be getting pounded by Mississippi State that bad. I mean, a couple plays here and there, and Tigers probably walk out of there getting swept and having double digits scored on them all three games. So I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of it. I'm sure you could say a lot of different things, but I'm curious to see what you and Daniel have to say, Tommy, because, man, definitely not the showing you'd want to see on your first SEC series.
Yeah, I mean, I think that maybe if you wanted to take like the more glasses half full side, it's like, well, first SEC series on the road, young team, aside from some of like the returning stars like Tommy White, who's been I mean, he's been solid the entire. He was solid all three games. Played very well, both defensively and offensively. But you know, maybe you can do it. You can kind of throw it to that. But on the negative side, I mean, the pitching was hit or miss. Had good offensive production. I felt like decent offensive production. Definitely game two was good. You know, definitely could have needed some more bats today. Just kind of a disappointing. Yeah, just a really disappointing showing. Obviously, the bullpen is still something. Is still a place where we have trouble. We had trouble with it last year. We had trouble with the year before. Still can't seem to get it right. I mean, you go through. I don't know how many pitchers they went through today, trying to like stop the bleeding, and it just honestly made it worse. So, very disappointing first series in the SEC against I believe an unranked Mississippi State team.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about SEC, or well, like the good and bad thing about SEC baseball is it's the best conference in the country. Every team is, you know, pretty much a contender. And so even though we lost this, like it's not over for us. You know, we can go out, continue and maybe, you know, win big in the SEC and still host a regional, probably host a super regional.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely a reality check for LSU Tiger players and fans, as we had a strong non-conference performance, sitting at number two in the polls with only two losses. And then going into SEC play, no one, I think, was expecting us to steamroll through, but confidence was high, especially in our pitching. And then that was immediately brought back down to earth when the Bulldogs started racking up hit after hit, and the offense couldn't keep pace with them. We had kind of praised Jay Johnson for his decisions, especially late last year, regarding pitching and roster management. And there might have been a few questionable decisions this weekend, leaving starting pitching in a little bit longer than possibly he needed to Friday with Luke Holman, especially today on Sunday with Thatcher Hurd, who they kept him in, trying to get more and more outs. And then he ended up giving up seven runs. And then we went straight to Christian Little, who proceeded to let another five across the plate. So we had problems there, both with the starting pitching and with the relief pitching. We didn't really have a guy who was able to come in and like ice the game and put a stop to the Mississippi State's rallies. They just kept kind of piling on. The only reason we were able to survive in the Saturday game is with like four home runs in the first three innings. And after that, it was just a race against time trying to end the game before the Bulldogs eventually came back in it. And we barely did that. So I kind of exposed this a little bit, where we had, depending on our starters going deep in the non-conference schedule, and then the bats on those teams just weren't good enough to bring them back in the game. And here Jay Johnson is going to have to kind of retool this and rethink. Does he go by a more committee approach, where like the starters penciled in for like four innings instead of five or six? But then again, it's like, who do you put in from the bench to fill those innings? So it's tough. And then the offense, like you said, Tommy, was good, not great. Hopefully that keeps chugging along. An area of concern for me was the defense, because we had six errors across three games, and that allowed quite a few runs that were really unearned and put unnecessary pressure on our pitching and our offense to come back in. Tommy White played well from the third base spot, but we had multiple like overthrows at first base with the ball almost ending up in the dugout. We had outfielders.
That Brady Neal error today was bad. Mm-hmm. You see that, where he slipped, like when he ran?
Ugh. Yeah.
We had outfielders kind of muffing singles that allowed it to stretch into doubles, a few errant throws home, and just a number of pass balls and wild pitches also. So that, on top of the walks that we issued, just wasn't a good combination, and definitely a number of things to polish up, because we got some tough competition coming up as well in the next few weeks.
Indeed. And you'd mentioned, you know, a really good inning with a lot of home runs. And I would say, yeah, the offense, I mean, it hasn't been horrible. It's been good, definitely in spots, but it seems like it's mostly individual efforts. Yeah, we're hitting some home runs, but, I mean, it'd be great if we did it with the bases loaded, you know, or maybe two on each, you know, whenever that was happening. But it's been a lot of solo homers, and helpful, no doubt. But, yeah, it's like it's hard to build some momentum with Tommy White hitting a two-run homer when Mississippi State is going to score 15, you know, and they don't even need nine innings to do it. So, yep. I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, you can tell Jay Johnson's trying to figure it out. I mean, he had Tommy White batting second, I think. And, yep. You know, like you said, he left Thatcher Hurd in a little bit long. Like, he obviously had a bad first inning. But, you know, sometimes they leave guys in to see how they'll respond. They'll settle in. And that next, what, the next seven batters, I think he took out. But then it was just at some point the floodgates opened. Now, obviously some stuff to be tooled there, but I don't know. I mean, it's a different team. I think if anything, maybe we just trust in Jay. see if he figures it out. It is still early in the season. But yeah, I guess first impressions are everything, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's time to pull the plug or anything. We got Florida, a top 10 Florida team coming to Baton Rouge next weekend, which gives us a big bounce back opportunity. They're one of our biggest rivals in baseball. Maybe I would say apart from like Ole Miss or Tennessee, and they're always really solid. Obviously, we played them in the World Series last year, so they're going to come out and be hoping for some revenge. They just beat a undefeated Texas A&M team 2-1 in their series in Gainesville this past weekend, so they're heating up a little bit. So Jay Johnson, definitely a place to see who's can put up or shut up. If we lose this next series at home, then I know the message boards are going to start blowing up and saying that it's a wash season already, but it's not over. Florida's good. And then after that, we got Arkansas and Tennessee, two other really good teams. So like you mentioned, Tommy, every weekend in the SEC is a gauntlet and a long road ahead, but hopefully the Tigers can get back on track this upcoming weekend.
I think they will. One thing, like you said, Florida A&M was undefeated, 16 games, I think, and then Florida was able to take two. So it's everyone's hitting the heart of the, you know, the beginning of their SEC schedule. So all those pretenders are now, you know, having to turn into contenders. We'll see how it goes. But just to keep it positive, really impressed with Gage Jump. It's like two weekends in a row he's had a solid, you know, he looks solid on the road this time. And yep. I would say Milam is still bringing it. So, you know, I think it was a little bit different last year because LSU kind of looked the part most of the season, right? But of course we did have big guns. I mean, Paul Skeens is smoking guys in spring training and Dylan Cruz is doing well too. So we did lose a lot. We've had to replace a lot, but
yeah.
I know there's still plenty of time for all that cream to rise to the top, I would say.
No, I agree. I think that this team is not going to be as talented as last year's team. I think we can be close, but we're not going, you know, we shouldn't expect the same product that we had last year.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see them. I mean, I'm interested to see them on Tuesday against Louisiana Tech. So, you know, that's a school, a midweek in-state school that we play almost every year that's given us trouble for the past, 3 years, where I think we lost the series to them last year. And so, you know, I think that we'll see how they bounce back. And then you're right, Daniel, like playing Florida at home will be a big test for us. So it's not over yet, but not a great first series.
Mm-hmm. One more. It was kind of a random interesting note, but Mississippi State intentionally walked Tommy White either two or three times this weekend. One time it didn't work out, and one time it did. I think they got the next guy, but that'll be an interesting strategy, I think, going forward to see if teams like, because he's probably our number one offensive threat. I think Jared Jones has the most home runs, but Tommy White can hit more for average and defend the plate a little bit better to see if they kind of pitch around him and force some of our other guys to make a play. Because last year we had Dylan Cruz and you couldn't pitch around him because sitting right after him was Tommy White. True. And they couldn't pitch around him because then it was Hayden Travinsky and Braden Joubert and some other guys.
Yeah.
So we need some other guys to step up as real offensive weapons to not make us one dimensional. So kind of something to watch for.
Yep. Plenty of games still to be played, obviously. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that and see how that goes throughout the year. Having a good, strong homestand is a good way to bounce back. And obviously doing that during a midweek game against La Tech. Yeah, they've been tough, but hopefully the Tigers, you know, respond to it. Hopefully they sit with this feeling of, you know, we're not supposed to be losing two out of three to Mississippi State. I don't care if they won it 2 years ago. Obviously, like, you know, you said, there was a lot of errors. We could definitely play better. So looking forward to that. Now, we are still waiting on the women's brackets to be released. I know there's a party at the PMAC right now as we speak in the lead up to it, since there's going to be a selection show there. Now, they have released the men's brackets, and obviously LSU is, you know, not going dancing this year, probably waiting on the NIT tournament. But you do have some familiar names, kind of, like UConn, Houston, Purdue, and the UNC Tar Heels all earning the one seeds. There was, team in the SEC got the two seed. That's Tennessee. Then there was Auburn, Alabama, some 3 and 4 seeds, but or Kentucky as well, a 3 seed. But I don't know. I think it's, again, it's another year where it's anyone's game. I don't think the SEC has as good a chance. I mean, it always remains to be seen. But, man, Kentucky just kind of dipped off. Alabama is really was going off a cliff before the tournament. I mean, they've lost like how many in the last month. So don't feel good about them really doing too much damage. But again, next weekend or whenever it starts, it's a new season. Everyone's it's a one game season. So I don't know. I know you guys haven't had a chance to fill out your brackets yet, but any favorites?
Well,
go ahead, Daniel.
I was going to say on the LSU front, I believe we're guaranteed a NIT bid because we're going to be like the second in the like power rankings, basically, of the Power Five conference, being the SEC that didn't make the NCAA tournament, us and Ole Miss. So we'll be in there, and the first round of that is the 20th and the 21st of this week. So, I mean, it's not exactly glamorous to be in the little brother tournament, but it's better than nothing and definitely an improvement from last year. So maybe we can find a little bit of a spark there and give the team something to build on towards next year. In the real dance, UConn, number one overall seeded, I wouldn't say they've been dominant, but they've been extremely good, and they won the Big East tournament while everybody else, all the other one seeds, fell. So yeah, They're going to be the prohibitive favorite. Auburn, who won the SEC tournament, they've been playing really well. So I'd say they're kind of not exactly a dark horse, but definitely a contender to make a run at a number four spot. And who else? I Yale hit a buzzer beater today to make the tournament. So congrats to the nerds out of the Ivy League. And yeah, there's not exactly one super powerful men's team this year. So it's really anybody's game, which I guess is the magic of March, and excited to see the 15-2 upset or 14-3, some tiny schools make a run for it.
Yeah. I mean, I watched Alabama play this weekend. They're tough. I feel like I watched now Carolina, both Carolina and Duke fell to NC State. And NC State went on to win the ACC tournament. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think Carolina's tough this year. They've got a really good squad. Duke's always good. I wouldn't pick them to go all the way though. Kentucky's still out there. You never know about Calipari. He might be able to get it done.
Mm-hmm. One team I wanted to call out was McNeese State Cowboys, coached by LSU coach Will Wade. They're in at the number 12 spot against Gonzaga, who's a perennial powerhouse. Gonzaga, number 5 seed. They haven't had their best year, but that would be huge for McNeese State to beat them. And I think they're certainly capable. I think they're like 32-3 or something on the year. So Will Wade definitely had a big impact, and that would be a statement win to maybe make the step up from like small boy contenders to like the real kind of mid-major contenders like a Gonzaga or a Creighton or a Xavier, somebody like that. So good luck to them, I guess. And a lot of LSU fans will be watching that game, I'm sure.
And they got a favorable seeding because there's usually a 12-5 upset in, you know, every year. So that could be the one.
And if they win, they possibly have Kansas the game after, which would be crazy to beat Gonzaga and Kansas back-to-back for McNeese.
Be kind of awesome. I mean, I'm rooting for Will Wade.
Sure, nothing against him. But other than that, there wasn't too much going on. I mean, I know the football Tigers actually did land a commitment over the weekend for next year's class. I mean, it was just a 4-star, but I mean, if you're already adding on to a really good class, then that's amazing. They got a offensive lineman, Tyler Miller, who is coming out of Laurel, Mississippi. He picked the Tigers over Ole Miss, Bama, and a few others. But he's rated as the number one interior lineman. Got to say, man, Brad Davis is doing pretty good. If nothing else, just recruiting guys to LSU. Now, I mean, we're already pretty rich there, but, I mean, he keeps getting some more. Just hopefully they can all stay, because I think we already had one that's transferred out, but no shortage, well, basically.
Yeah, no shortage, and I mean, that's the – I forget who I – it wasn't Saban. I forget who it was. I was listening to somebody talking about college football these days. It's like you have to over-recruit your roster. You have to recruit more because at the moment's notice, you throw people up and leave. So – you know, it's not the same. It's a different, and we've talked about this so many times, but it's a different way of building a roster. It's a different way of managing, managing these teams. So we just need to pack it with as much talent as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. And Miller, big guy, standing 6'5", 315, offensive tackle. I think it's a good strategy to try and get as much offensive line prospects as possible to protect our crown jewel number one player, Bryce Underwood. There have been a little smoke the past couple of weeks that DeCorian Moore, who's committed to LSU, number one wide receiver, is wavering a little bit, and he's kind of one of those guys who enjoys the recruiting process and wants to take all his visits and see what schools can offer him. So hopefully he doesn't drop out at the last second, because he'd be a big piece as well. But yeah, still a solid class going forward, and excited to see what Brian Kelly and the rest of the staff can do with this.
Right on. Other than that, pretty quiet out of the football world, which is actually a good thing this time of year. But we'll definitely share if we come across any more news for you. I think that was about it. I mean,
I wanted to mention on the women, since we don't have the bracket just yet, just supposed to release at 8 p.m. After recording time, but LSU projected right now is a 2, possibly a 3 seed, but either way, they'll be hosting a quote-unquote regional, like the first 4 teams, because that's the way they do the women. So I'm sure the PMAC will be packed for that, and wish I could be there, but hopefully they can make another run like they did last year. Would be awesome to go back to back. As long as we're not on South Carolina's quadrant of the bracket, I think we'll be okay. We'll wonder if we'll see another matchup with them or Iowa as well. Caitlin Clark, be fun.
Mm. Yeah, I was trying to see. I think. Oh my goodness. Yeah, LSU softball we're still undefeated.
Yeah, softball, the only undefeated team in the country, which is pretty crazy, up to number 2. So they've been kind of sneakily being good for LSU as well.
Yeah. So, hey, maybe we just shift our eyes to the Women's College World Series this year. It goes back and forth. I mean, Min had it last year. Might as well.
We'll see if they got any relief pitchers that can step in for LSU. Speaking of throwing underhand, y'all see that guy from Mississippi State? He was like the submariner pitcher and was like kind of bamboozling us a little bit.
He had 3 different deliveries. He threw over the top, sidearm, and then submarine. And I mean, he made some of our hitters look foolish. But I mean, I'm sure it's very difficult to adjust to. I mean, that's 3 different looks. But he was striking people out. You see that his speed on that submarine pitch, it was like 67.
Mm-hmm. He won't blow it by you, but he'll move a lot. I'm sure that might be a Tommy John surgery waiting to happen in a couple of years.
Yeah, he's going to burn out bright, though.
There you go. Well, I think that'll about do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Thanks for tuning in. Check back next week. We'll definitely have more for you. The women's brackets and some more info on the NIT with the Tigers and anything else that comes down the chute. Until then, have a great week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time on Talking Tigs.